Well, good morning, listeners, and welcome to our episodes this week for Pearls and Swine podcast brought to you by Evangel Community Church in Houghton. We are without our senior fearless leader, Levi P. Madison, today. It's Nate Marsh and myself, Travis. I got to open up with a little story.
Confess.
It's a confession time. Nate and I were cruising over to grab some lunch before we had a meeting here, and I have a little bit of road rage issues, if I'm honest. We're sitting there and...
It's okay. Say it, man.
All right. I drive a truck, and it's a good UP truck, big, old, and rusty. And as we were trying to leave to get back on the road, somebody decided that they were going to try to maybe cut me off. My internal justice meter went, this jack wagon's not getting in front of me. And so I just kept going. Felt kind of good about myself until my good buddy Nate here reminded me of one of his favorite passages in scripture, and it kind of hurt, if I'm honest. It made me do a little bit of a heart check, and Nate, that passage was out of Micah chapter 6. If you want to go ahead and share that with us, like you were so kind and gracious to share with me at that time.
Yeah, well, God is talking to his people, and he was confronting his people on some of the things that they were doing, and he wasn't very pleased. They were doing some of the worship stuff, but they weren't actually living the way they should. And so he says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And so, yeah, we just want to go through some of that and talk through, what does it mean to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, especially since that's what God said, hey, this is what I want from you. You know, you're doing all these other things, but this is what a life that's pleasing to me looks like. Yeah. Did you look up anything with justice? And
I just started thinking about that story that I shared and how a lot of us, we have a pretty high justice meter, especially if the offense happens to us, right? Mm-hmm. So right away, I wanted to be right. I wanted my turn to get out on the road because it was fair and it was just. And, you know, God looks at justice differently than I look at justice, which is a very good thing, I think.
Yes,
you know, and I love that verse too, because it gives us some, just a clear roadmap, some clear direction. And it's very just obvious of like, here's what you have to do. And God's telling that to his people, and he's still speaking that to us daily, at least for me, as I have good friends that convict me like you do. So yeah, I think it's a super important topic, this idea of justice, especially as we are in the shadows of Election Day coming up here on Tuesday. Like, these are hot topics right now, justice. But what's not a necessarily hot topic is loving mercy and to walk humbly. So we're going to dive into those things this week too.
Humbly. What does that mean?
We'll get there.
Cool. Yeah. And one of the things that I love about this passage is it breaks things down into three separate things, and it's just three things. So it's easy to know and easy to think through and easy to keep on your mind. And the first one of act justly. I love this idea because it's talking about what we should be doing, how we should be living, what our behavior looks like. We need to act in a just, in a fair, in a way that's right, that's always appropriate to the situation. One of the things that I've been thinking through is just as we've been talking about and saying, you know, the civil discourse right now is not very good. It's kind of rough, and people are name calling and some of that stuff. Facebook can be pretty unforgiving, and people say what's ever on their mind because it's a little more
right there.
It's not face to face, and so you almost feel like you can say a little more openly what's going on in your mind. But the question really for us in acting justly is, are we thinking through what's the fair thing that we should be doing? It's kind of like the golden rule of what Jesus said, right? Do unto others is what you would have them do unto you. And so are we thinking about what's just in this situation? How should I do the right thing? How should I do the fair thing for the situation, everyone who's involved? And so my neighbor had his Trump sign stolen, and I'm kind of like, dude, that's just not right. That's not fair. Like, if we want to have a good political system, we need to allow people to express themselves, right? If they're a Trump supporter, great. If they're a Biden supporter, great. But to act justly means I am not going to steal whatever sign I don't like,
mm-hmm.
right? My actions are going to be fair. I'm going to do what's right and true and good.
Mm-hmm. And I think my road rage story or road frustration story, because I don't want to call it rage, but it just shows like the skewed perception of justice that we had. It's when my rights are trampled on, when what's affecting me is at most importance over everything. And that's, I'll be honest, that's a little bit of an arrogant mindset that I had there. And you called me out on it. And I think that God calls us out on those things of having a proper perception of what justice really is.
Sure.
So yeah. That road or that Trump sign, would yeah. it be wrong if somebody took it and stuck it in your garage?
Hey, shush.
This is another confession time, but we'll talk about that a different time.
It was a big sign too. So yeah, anyway, so when we're talking about actions, like I think this first one of acting justly is for us. Now, the second one is really important, but I think it's slightly different. It's not so much the actions we do per se in the same sense as we are looking for the opportunity to bestow mercy. And so it's more of our dealings with others. And so this idea of loving mercy means when there's this opportunity where not punishing someone, even though they might deserve it, we relish the opportunity to do it. We love that opportunity in which we can show mercy to someone and where we don't have to punish them. And I think that's difficult, kind of like what you're saying, Trav. We want justice for ourselves, mm-hmm. oftentimes. We don't necessarily want to live justice or live justly, right?
Right.
We want other people to be fair to us, but we want the advantage. We want the exception. We want the rule to not apply to us. And so with this whole loving mercy thing, we're essentially giving other people a favor that we don't expect for ourselves.
No, that's good, because it's favor that we don't expect for ourselves, but it's also a gift that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like mm-hmm. scripture talks about grace and mercy hand in hand all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And our justice meter says that, you know, you're wronged, that injustice has to be righted. There has to be a payment for that to be made right. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that mercy necessarily means that we let injustice prevail. If we take the scriptural look at it, I believe in 2 Corinthians, I'm taking a shot, chapter 5 is what I think it is. But Paul tells us that God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We're sinners. Like, we know from our Christian background, we are born with sin. We are, our kids are naughty little sinning grubbers and rugrats. But that's just the way that the fallen world has become. We are ingrained with this sin from birth. And so if we were to not be shown mercy, we have a payment to be made for that. And if we just go on living life without knowing who Christ is and the sacrifice that he gave with his life on the cross, we'll get what we deserve. But he, in his goodness and his grace and his mercy, God sent his son to this world so that he might be that payment for our knuckleheadedness.
Yeah. Well, and I love the passage says, love mercy,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like just always be merciful, because I don't think that's an appropriate application of good mercy.
Mm-hmm.
If we're always merciful to someone, then we're essentially giving them license to do whatever they want,
mm-hmm.
and they can act unfairly and essentially abuse everyone around them because they know they're going to receive mercy. And that's not our God, right? But our God does love mercy when it can be applied.
Mm-hmm.
And our God acts justly, but when we recognize that we have done something stupid, wrong, evil, corrupt, and we say, God, sorry, please forgive me. I recognize what I've done was wrong, and I don't want to do this again. I want to be different. I want to be good. Then he, because of his love of mercy, applies that favor and that grace on us, and we can be restored to him. And so, you know, we're really just mimicking God and who he is by acting justly, but then loving mercy. And part of the love of mercy also in not applying it in situations where it's not good means that we're upholding mercy in its rightful place, that we're valuing it and not allowing it to just be smattered around mm-hmm. everywhere. It's too important. It's too precious for that. But it's only used in the appropriate situation where someone recognizes, hey, I've done wrong, and then that mercy can be
applied. So you mentioned places where mercy is not good. What are some of those kind of places?
Yeah, I think situations where people refuse to recognize what they've done is wrong. And I think we have some situations in our culture right now where people think the evil that they're doing is not wrong and it's justified and stuff like that. And that we cannot, I think, give mercy in those situations. That's a situation of justice. Now, if a person realizes, hey, I went too far, I was wrong, this was stupid, what I did was hurtful and hurt someone or injured someone or something along those lines, but they recognize what they did, then that love of mercy that can be applied in that situation. So, I think of different police actions and someone gets shot and then riots break out and that kind of thing. Well, if we're doing this, if we're acting justly, if we're loving mercy, then we need to be pursuing fairness for sure, particularly in our own actions. How can we be fair in this situation? But whenever there's a situation where people recognize that they did wrong, our response should be to pour mercy over it, forgive, to figure out a way in which there can be a restoration, not just being angry, trying to get what we deserve and something like that by looting or breaking things.
No, that's good. And that really kind of shines a light on the order of how these things are laid out in that passage. Like, it's act justly, then love mercy. It's not vice versa. There's not a reversal role there. I think that makes a big difference in how these things kind of unfold as we walk through this passage. And the thing about mercy is that it costs something, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, God's mercy on us cost him his son. There's time invested in the ministry that Jesus had on earth. We see that through the scriptures. It cost God the pain of losing his son. And still the penalty was paid. It was paid with the life of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we give mercy in a situation where we've been wronged, like, we're not going to receive payment for that wrong. That's part of what mercy is. But as you said before, like, Trav, we can do that because we've received mercy in our own lives, right? Mm-hmm. From what God has done for us, you know, we've been forgiven so much. And so we can then forgive because what we've been forgiven of is so much more than what others might do to us. And so, yeah, I think those two are so really important. And the order of them even is important, that we first start with ourselves and our actions of being fair. And our dealings, we are just. And then in our dealings with others, as others are interacting with us, we look for this opportunity because of our love for mercy to offer forgiveness, to not punish when punishment is deserved justly. And so our love for mercy rules in those important situations. The last one is, I think, the foundation for the other two, to walk humbly with our God, that our life is defined by this connection to God, that is a great metaphor of a walk. And I love when scripture talks about walking, and it talks about it in different spots. One spot, it talks about us and our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, that we are to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. If you think about taking a walk with someone tonight or whatever, to have a successful walk, you need to kind of be in step with that person. If you're going a little faster than them, you're not going to be next to them for very long. If you end up even turning to one side or to another, you're not going to be next to them for very long. And so you have to stay kind of in step. And maybe your gait's a little bit different than them, and so mm-hmm. you're taking a few more steps than they are or whatever. But you're staying right beside them, kind of step by step.
Yeah. I have this picture in my head of when my wife and I would be walking. Maybe you've experienced this before, but you might not, you know, might be having a great conversation. There might be some kind of disagreement, and I either lag behind or I start doing my power walks. So I'm not side by side. And I think that's a really good analogy for what this passage is trying to paint the picture for, of how we follow God. It's really a heart attitude, I think, as we walk through these three things in combination as the progression goes through the passage here. You know, as I was thinking about the first one, I think the act justly is kind of the outward. You know, it's a call to action. It's the outward. Mm-hmm. The inward is to love mercy. It takes something within our heart, a change of that heart through Christ, by his grace and his mercy through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And then we get to the walk humbly part, and that's where we really have to look up. For me, I think like my social justice meter goes off and I just want to take my action and I want to make it right for myself, whether that's arrogance or stupidity or a good combination of both. But the walking humbly part is something that I need to rely on Christ every single day to do, because my own self, I'm not probably the most humble critter on the planet.
Nice. I like what you said, the image of looking up. Because that's a humble position, mm-hmm. to recognize that there's something above you, something stronger than you. You know, you think of your child who is in grade school or something, like they look up to their parents because they're smaller than us. They look to us to help them or provide for them and that kind of thing. And that should be the way that we view God, that we look up to him and he is the one who provides for us. He is our protection. He is the one whom we seek guidance and wisdom from. And we go to him and his word to understand how we should live out this life, because we live in times that can be very confusing, can be very difficult. And so our walk with him and our trust in him is so, so important. And it's not like we can go to him and have all the answers, because if that's our disposition, then he's not likely to help, because one of the things he hates is pride. In fact, he loves to lower the person with pride and to shrink them down into their real size. But he gives grace and lifts up the humble. And so when we approach him with that attitude as, Lord, we need you, we need your wisdom, your strength, then he provides that.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love, it's again coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the passage where my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. And I think that weakness, often the times I think of like, I'm in a situation, I can't handle it, it's too much for me. But it's really when you get this heart posture of humility. Like we are not necessarily allowing ourselves to be weak, but recognizing our weakness, that we are faulted, we are fallen, we are flawed, and we need God. We need the grace and the mercy and the gift of salvation that our Savior has given us through the cross. And it's then that God can really work in us and through us for his good, for the glory of his kingdom, not for our own prideful, selfish, arrogant ambitions. And it's that old saying that one of my seminary professors would tell me, and I guess it's not old just because he's old, but maybe he got it from somewhere else. So I hope he's not listening to this, but the ground is level at the foot of the cross is what he would tell us every single class. And that's so true. When we recognize our walk with our faith, every day we bear a cross, we need to follow Jesus because we can't do it on our own. And the times that I find myself thinking, you know, the pride's crept in and I can do it on my own, I got this. And I feel super confident, I feel well equipped, and man, things blow up in my face.
I hate that.
You can ask my wife about some of those.
Yeah, and I think that humble walk with God is just this reminder. It's not about us. It's not about how far we've come or if we at this moment have our lives together amazingly or whatever, but recognizing that really the only help, the only wisdom and guidance comes from God alone. And so remembering to not be like, hey, follow me because I got the way, yeah. Right? I got the goods or something like that. But recognizing, hey, come with me and follow God with me because he has the way. He's the one that we can depend on in this life. And so, yeah, this is an amazing passage and just good practical stuff on how to live. And it's why I think God gives it to his people, because he recognizes that his people, they were saying they loved him. They were saying that they were his people and stuff like that. But the way they were living was not it. They were living like they had all the answers, like their sin, their corruption, the wickedness they were doing didn't matter. And I think in where we're at as a country right now, we need a lot of humility. We need to come before our God and say, you know, God, you have the answers. We don't. We want to just humble ourselves before you and seek your face and ask you to lead and guide us now.
No, that's so good. And I'm so glad that you pointed out that passage because, yeah, life seems crazy with everything that's going on. And God lays it out. He tells us exactly how to do it. He's shown us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. So I hope that's a source of encouragement as much as it's been for me today for all you guys out there listening. And if you've got a topic that's near and dear to your heart or something that you'd just like to hear us cover, feel free to give us a shout. You can always send an email to me, Travis, at evangelup.org. You can give a call to the church. But we just want to encourage you guys today that Scripture is a place to turn to for wisdom and how to do life. And when it seems like the justice meter needs to, your justice meter is going off and action needs to happen, you can turn to God and his word is going to be there for us to comfort us and guide us. And he is always faithful and he's always good. So that is our podcast for this week, a podcast called Pearls and Swine brought to you by Evangel Community Church. And we'll be praying for you guys this week.
Yes, absolutely. It's a tough week and we want to make sure that we're leaning upon our God and nothing else, because he's the one with the answers. So thanks, Travis. Thanks for leading us in this, and hope you guys have a good week and hope to hear from you soon.